This is Louis Navalier. It is Tuesday, March 14th. Well, the Labor Department today announced that the Consumer Price Index rose 0.4% in February, and it's now running at a 6% annual pace. That's down from 6.4% in January. The core CPI, excluding food and energy, rose 0.5% in February, and is now running at a 5.5% annual pace, which is down just barely from 5.6% in January. So that's the problem out there. The core rate is coming higher than expected. The rate of deceleration is minuscule. And the real culprit remains this thing called owner's equivalent rent, which I'm sure you've heard me complain about. It rose 0.8% in February. And this is getting to be increasingly frustrating because Ed Yardini, who's an economist I respect very much, has shown for six straight months that that rental costs and housing costs have leveled off. Because, as you know, housing costs are dropping because of higher mortgage rates, and rents are starting to crack in a lot of major cities. Yet it does not show up in the economic data, okay? So this is basically driving us all nuts, like what's wrong with the Labor Department. Tomorrow we're going to get retail sales. I think the January retail sales was exaggerated by seasonal adjustments. I want to see a revision of that. But, you know, hopefully the February retail sales will be much more realistic. So, you know, we are getting economic data that is questionable, okay, and doesn't line up with the best private economists who are, of course, extremely qualified. So we'll see. Anyway, because we have a higher than expected inflation, the 2-year Treasury note is up to 4.33% today. That's up 30 basis points. You know, it fell 100 basis points the last 2 days. And then the 10-year Treasury is working its way back up. It's 3.66%, up about 15 basis points. So everybody now thinks the Fed will do 25 basis points on March 22nd. So the main thing that on March 22nd is we need a dovish FOMC statement. Now, the bank to watch, if you want a barometer of what's going on, is this First Republic Bank. You know, on Wednesday, it closed at a $115 a share. And then on Friday, it was $53 a share. Yesterday, it plunged to $27 a share. And today, it's $46 a share and rising. So this is the troubled bank that got $70 billion between the Fed and J.P. Morgan. It'll probably become part of J.P. Morgan. So this is the barometer out there to watch. So all the fuss over the banking system has settled back down. To be honest with you, it looks like Barney Frank did a good job. He was a board member of Silicon Valley Bank and helped, you know, broker it to the regulatory authorities, so they had a smooth transition. So we can give Barney Frank kudos for that, although I guess he lost his directorship. Oops. Oh, well. There's some other news out there. You probably heard that ConocoPhillips' project on the North Slope of Alaska was approved, the Willow Project. Even though Biden just banned drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Area. You might wonder, well, why? How come he's allowing Conoco to go through? And the answer is they paid for it. You know, they bid for the track. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars. Okay. So they paid for it. The other reason that they had approved that project is they got to keep the oil going through the pipeline. You know, Alaska's production has dropped over 75%. And if you don't keep stuff flowing through that pipeline, it's not going to work, okay? So you might as well extend its life by putting some fresh oil in it, okay? And the Willow Project's supposed to produce 180,000 barrels a day. That's only about 1.5% of U.S. production. But it'll keep the Alaska pipeline extended and its life extended. Because, you know, in those extreme climates, if you don't keep stuff moving through it, it's going to actually damage the pipeline. And this is the whole conundrum with Russia now, okay? Russia does not have storage facilities. They don't have a Cushing, Oklahoma. If they want to store oil, they got to put it in tankers. And then tankers wander all over the world wondering where it should go, okay? And that's why the tankers are doing well, because not only are they traveling farther distances, but Russia's got to store it somewhere so they can hope to unload it. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see just how much Russia's production drops off. In the meantime, just so you know, we're exporting 45% of our production in America, okay? And we're blending our oils together to get a higher grade, because most of the world runs on sweet crude. And so when you blend it, you can get a higher price. Of course, we also export a lot of refined product, you know, diesel, heating oil, jet fuel, all that stuff that you get from refining a barrel of oil. So you might have noticed that even though oil prices aren't up today, our energy stocks are up sharply. And now, of course, it's kind of a rebound from yesterday. But I feel very good about that energy bet, because whether you know it or not, we're kind of the new Saudi Arabia until the Permian Basin tails off. It's still rising, but it will be tailing off in the upcoming years. So for the next 2 to 3 years, we might as well enjoy it. We're in the catbird seat, and of course, demand does go up in the spring. Now, U.S. demand isn't that strong now. A lot of it's California, you know, because of the flood risks and the road closures. You know, obviously, Californians can't travel as much as they used to, and they're going to be under flood risk for 2 more months, okay? So right now, it's mostly rain melting the snow, but if they get any kind of heat wave with a fast snow melt, it would be devastating to the state. So, you know, hopefully they'll have a slow snow melt, and of course that will help recharge the water tables and all that stuff as well. So, interesting times. But I'm very comfortable with my energy bet. I do get a lot of emails from you folks about it, and I do want you to know I'm not worried at all, okay? The other thing is, when you own commodity-related stocks, fertilizer, oil, and everything, they're not quite like the normal growth stocks I have that have just blowout earnings every quarter. The key is for them to beat, for them to keep paying their high, generous dividends. And they are cyclical stocks. So, you know, that means 2 quarters a year they'll be incredible, and 2 quarters a year they'll be less incredible. But that's why they have big, fat dividends. That's why they have low P/E ratios. But they are looking awfully good. We are going to be supplying the world with a lot of oil. We have to offset Russia. And in fact, the Willow Project that the Biden administration approved on the North Slope of Alaska also helps offset Russia, especially on the West Coast. The West Coast was getting most of that Russian oil that we at one time imported. So that's it, everybody. Hang on. Enjoy the ride back. Tomorrow is the producer price index, retail sales, big day for economic news. We'll see what it is. But today is a very healthy day for the overall market. So enjoy the ride, everybody. I do think the fact the Fed's only going to do 25 basis points right now, that's consensus, and have a dovish FOMC statement is very, very positive. So I think we're near the end of the Fed rate hike cycle, and we'll have further confirmation on that on Wednesday, March 22nd, with the FOMC statement. Take care, everybody. It's Louis Navalier. I'll update the podcast during fast market conditions.